Welcome to City Hall, Arts Community. We are so honored to have you as we ponder the state of the arts in 2016. Carla, would you please read the item?
A roll call.
And do a roll call first.
Saltzman, Novick.
Here.
Ritz.
Here.
Hales, Fish.
Here.
Item 396, accept report on the state of the arts from the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Eloise and Jan, would you please come forward while I make some opening remarks? Good afternoon, everyone. As president of the council and as the city's arts commissioner, it is an honor to welcome you to City Hall and to introduce my third State of the Arts presentation. This annual celebration of the arts is a chance to welcome artists and advocates to City Hall, to highlight the accomplishments of the past year, and to have some fun. Portland is known for many things, including its natural beauty, its environmental ethic, its commitment to innovation, its food, its quirkiness. It's also known as a first-tier cultural destination, a place where the creative spirit is nurtured and honored, where arts and culture flourish. This afternoon, I'm pleased to first welcome two of our strongest advocates in this movement, Eloise Damrosch, the executive director of RAC, and Jan Robertson, RAC board chair. Eloise and Jan are going to kick us off, and we'll introduce other arts leaders who are joining us here today. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Thank you, Commissioner Fish and City Council, and thanks to all of our dedicated friends joining us today. As we do every year, we're here to share some of the successes and some of the challenges we have experienced this past year as a result of your investment in RAC and by extension to Portland's arts community and life in our vibrant city. I want to acknowledge and wholeheartedly thank the RAC board, many of them who are here today, and the RAC staff who's here in Legion. Thanks also to RAC grant staffer Jack McNichol to my right for jumping in with tech help.
Eloise, could we ask the RAC board members that are here to please stand and accept our thanks? If you're a board member, would you please stand? And let's suspend the rules and give them a round of applause. Thank you. And if you are one of the dedicated staff people for RAC, would you please stand and accept our thanks? Here they are. Thank you.
And now I will introduce Jan Robertson.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Before we launch into our presentation, I want to thank the rousing and talented Oboati Legacy Project for kicking us off with their fabulous Ghanaian drumming. I trust no one is experiencing a post-lunchtime slump as a result of their performance. Could we give them one more round of applause, please? The Oboati Legacy Project is one of many arts organizations and individual teaching artists who are vital parts of our arts education efforts, which enhance student learning and help train our future workforce to be creative, innovative problem solvers. Our arts integration program, the Right Brain Initiative, aspires to give every K-8 student in the region access to the arts, regardless of neighborhood, language, or income. By pairing classroom teachers with local artists, Right Brain provides new tools to engage students in creative exercises that help them learn their core subjects and is especially effective for English language learners. Study after study proves that students do better in school when we engage their whole brains. Last year, we shared with you some of the exciting data that tracks test score improvements for students in Right Brain schools over time. The Right Brain Initiative continues to grow as this map illustrates. We're now in 7 districts, 63 schools, serving 25,000 students and 1,350 educators. About 50 artists and arts organizations and our implementation partner, Young Audiences, are helping us deliver arts-rich learning in the schools. Right Brain is also part of the growing STEM to STEAM movement, inserting the arts into science, technology, engineering, and math lessons to help students build their creativity and collaboration skills. Our own Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici co-founded the bipartisan STEAM Caucus in Congress and introduced an amendment to the federal definition of a well-rounded education by adding arts education. This is now featured in the new Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced No Child Left Behind, heralding a new day for education in our nation. RAC is also expanding our arts education role by supporting art and music teachers funded by the arts tax. Now that every elementary school in Portland has an arts teacher, RAC has begun providing technical assistance and other services to Portland's 6 school districts and the 72 art and music teachers whose salaries are paid for by the arts tax. It's thrilling to see that pre-tax there was one arts specialist for 1,100 students, and now the ratio is 1 per 400. With arts specialists now in place, opportunities for students to experience performances by professional artists are on the rise. Thanks to the efforts of the music teacher at Prescott Elementary School, students at this Park Row school were inspired when Mariachi Flor de Tolo Ache included an all-school assembly in their West Coast tour. The only all-female mariachi group in the U.S. is based in New York City, with one of its members hailing from Portland. We were so pleased that Commissioner Fritz attended the recent Portland Public Schools Arts Showcase in the Portland Art Museum and spoke about the vibrant return of the arts to Portland schools thanks to the arts tax. It was truly a remarkable celebration. And now another treat for us all. We welcome Bravo Youth Orchestra performers from Rosa Parks School, an example of how arts specialists together with arts organizations are working together to transform public education.
Your music stands come in colors now, obviously so, or did you paint them? They're much more interesting than the ones that I have ever seen before. Somebody should have thought of that before. Thank you.
Wow. Bravo, young people.
They don't call them that for nothing. Thank you, Bravo musicians. What you've accomplished in a short period of time is truly remarkable. And thank you, Seth Truby, for sharing your incredibly talented students with us. Last year was a celebratory one for RAC, marking our 20th anniversary of becoming a nonprofit regional arts council. We threw a 30th birthday party for Portlandia, and we're pleased to have Mayor Hales preside, Commissioners Fish, Fritz, and Novick standing with him, and former Mayor Bud Clark, who 30 years ago paddled in his canoe alongside Portlandia as she was barged to her new home. Rose Highbear blessed the event, and Storm Large sang together with 80 Chapman School enthusiastic musicians. In the fall, we staged a City Hall-wide exhibition of 35 years of public art, capped off with a lively music-filled reception for a crowd of artists, city employees, and friends. During this past year, Buster Simpson and Peg Butler created this piece called Cradle along the Greenway in South Waterfront. It consists of three western cedar trees resting on concrete tetrapods and features four words in Chinook Wawa provided by the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde. Cradle offers a dynamic encounter between the weight of the human-like anchors and the buoyancy of the tree biomass. As Buster Simpson so often does in his public artworks, he comments on and brings to light intersections of nature and urban environments. Murals have become an increasingly prominent component of public art in Portland. This recently completed work on the year-old Portland Mercado is a welcoming addition to this important community landmark and reflects some of the cultural traditions of the vendors selling their wares inside. And here at Open School on North Lombard and Emerald Street, one artist was brought in to work with 40 young students, first of a kind for him, to design and execute this mural, much to the delight of all involved. He has become a great friend and repeat guest at the school, truly a public art love fest. Both of these and many other murals have been reviewed, approved, and partially funded by RAC and the city. Another source of amazing murals in our city has been the brainchild of Gage Hamilton and Mark Wagner, co-founders of Forest for the Trees. They are both here today. Will you please stand so that we can thank you?
Yay.
This program over the past 3 years has resulted in 52 large-scale murals by artists from around the world and from Portland. Most are in the central city, where they're the most large walls and business owners eager for images to adorn their blank walls. But Forest for the Trees hopes to expand out into all corners of our city going forward. We are so lucky to have such hardworking visionaries as Gage and Mark among us. Now, looking ahead, works that aren't quite here yet, but I have to share with you some of what's ahead. This is a list of projects. Parks. Part of the bond measure that I know Commissioner Fritz lives and breathes every day. There's a series of new parks, and each one of these will have some form of artistic expression in them. And you can see from their addresses that these are kind of far flung out into the neighborhood, which is great because many of these areas are not typically touched as much as some of the other parts of the city due to public construction. So we're looking forward to seeing what's ahead in the coming months. Next is a work in progress by Boston artist Mick Young Kim for the east end of the new Selwood Bridge. To be called Stratum, it will consist of 23 distinctive sculptures, of which this is one in fabrication. I hope you can make it out. It's 14 feet high. These 23 sculptures will march up each side of Tacoma Avenue between the bridge and 6th. The steel columnar forms will have rich patinas that reflect the layers of the river itself. The pieces are being fabricated locally and will be installed this summer. The project is funded by the city. The art project is funded by the city's percent for art because, unfortunately, Multnomah County's public art ordinance exempts bridges. Next is River Guardian by Lillian Pitt and Michael Hilda. It's another work in progress to be placed in the South Waterfront along the river. This image of the face here you can see in clay will be cast in glass and be the face of the guardian sculpture, designed with the following themes in mind: honoring ancestors, respecting nature, healing and understanding, and sustainability. Lillian writes, quote, "It will stand as tribute to the resilience and enduring presence of Native peoples, especially those of my people from the Columbia River," unquote. This is also coming this summer. While some cities in the country have requirements of public art for private developers, we do not, although we have certain opportunities in the city code for developers to include art in their projects, and we, wholeheartedly endorse that. Using the city code's floor area ratio public art bonus, the artists of Riza A&D created a series of three sculptures for the Waterline Apartments north of the Fremont Bridge. These sculptures celebrate the work of master penman and rail yard watchman Tom Stephopoulos, who worked in railroad yards that preceded Portland's Pearl District. The pieces adapt some of the imagery, poetics, and craft of Tom's unsanctioned public art, the painted columns of the Lovejoy Ramp. Although the ramp is demolished and the paintings have largely disintegrated, these sculptures help to carry Tom's story into the future. And last but not least, and maybe the most head-scratching of them all, is the Fairheld Dumbbell, the Gorilla Development's planned office building with ground floor retail in the heart of the Burnside Bridgehead. The project consists of two canted six-story towers that will be hand-painted with the original artwork on all eight of its elevations. Developer Kevin Cavanaugh is currently working with RAC on the selection of an artist. This building will clearly stand out, small though it will be, against the surrounding modern glass and steel of the architecture currently under construction. And this is clearly a rendering since we don't have the artist's vision yet, but we'll be eager to share it with you when we have it.
So how will that work when it needs to be repainted? Will it need to be repainted in its current form?
Yes, and there will be a covenant with the owner to make sure that that is done.
So that's a very significant investment.
It is. And nice, although part of the building is pretty hard to reach, so we're hoping that it's not going to be a question of having to paint the whole building if it gets tagged or something. But,
well, I wasn't thinking just about getting tagged, but, you know, as paint deteriorates, it needs to be redone. So that part, the covenant will be in there so that when the whole building needs to be repainted,
yes,
it will get done like that again.
Yes, and wow. And they're using a very, very durable kind of paint that specifically. Good question.
That's impressive.
Believe me, that's the first thing that pops into our mind is how are we going to make sure that it stays looking right.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the renovation of the mural on the Historical Society, and
yes,
looking forward
exactly
to seeing that restored to its former glory.
Exactly. And now turning to some highlights of our grants program, I would like to welcome Sushila Jayapal, who is the chair of our Grants Review Committee. Sushila.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. As chair of RAC's Grants Review Committee, it's my pleasure to be here with you today. Thanks to the arts tax and RAC's continued private sector fundraising efforts, we have been able to significantly increase the size and number of RAC grants over the last 2 years. Just 5 years ago, RAC granted a total of $3 million to artists and nonprofit organizations. This year, we will award more than $4.8 million. As you can see from this chart, general fund investments from the city and three counties, in blue, have been up and down, and our fundraising efforts, including Work for Art in yellow, add to the total. The arts tax in green is what has enabled us to get where we are today, but we still have a long way to go to achieve the goals of ballot measure 26146, shown in orange. This year, general operating support organizations are receiving an average of 3.6% of their budgets from RAC, compared to the goal and the national average of 5%. And the fund that was envisioned to expand arts access currently stands at $100,000, a small fraction of the $1.5 million that we had hoped to receive from the arts tax for this purpose. Despite these challenges, we do have more grantable funds than we had before. And I'm proud to say that we've demonstrated RAC's commitment to equity as our grant-making programs continue to evolve. Arts organizations that receive general operating support report using their increased allocations to expand programs and services for underrepresented communities. And this past year, RAC awarded a significant number of its project grants, 28%, to artists of color. Also this year, Multnomah County contributed funds to the Arts Access Goals of the Arts Tax to help us launch a new grant program, the Arts Equity Grant. These grants, formerly known as Expanding Cultural Access Grants, are specifically targeted for organizations that are working with communities of color, immigrants, refugees, underserved neighborhoods, persons with disabilities, LGBTQ communities, and other underrepresented residents of Portland and Multnomah County. We will be announcing $100,000 worth of arts equity grants next month. In the meantime, I am pleased that three RAC grant recipients are here with us today to tell you how RAC support made a difference to their organizations and to our community. Daryl Grant is joining us to describe how a RAC project grant helped him with a new work. Andrew Proctor will describe how general operating support impacted Literary Arts' stunning first year of managing Wordstock. And Luann Algoso from APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, is here to talk about the grant that made possible the launch of their cultural event series in the Jade District. Thank you.
Thank you. Professor Grant, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Why don't you kick us off, Daryl?
All right, thanks. Well, I'm really appreciative to RAC for allowing me the opportunity to come and speak about the impact of the RAC project grant. I'm recalling that I moved here in 1997, and I had never applied for a grant before. The very first funding I ever received was a $1,000 technological development grant for RAC. It was the very first research project I ever carried out. And so it was this incredible moment for me of sort of understanding that there's a connection between the community in which you live as an artist and the opportunity to do projects that impact both your career and the community that you serve as an artist. This last RAC grant I got was for a project that I conceived called The Territory. In 2012, I received funding from Chamber Music America from their Jazz New Works program to write and perform a new jazz work. And the project that I was inspired to do was to write a piece that kind of described both the historical, geological territory of Oregon, but also the cultural history and those stories of sort of what made this a unique place. The Territory was a 60-minute live performance for nine musicians, which we premiered at Chamber Music Northwest, and we were later able to perform it in New York City. I requested a grant from RAC to be able to mix, master, and produce a recording from the live performance that we did at Chamber Music Northwest at Call Auditorium, and was very pleased to be able to do that. So I guess in one sense you could say that this is the product, this CD. But it was really much bigger than that, because the thing that I was really interested in was pursuing a conversation not just with other musicians, but with other artists from different disciplines and creative people from different disciplines about how place impacts their work. So RAC also funded the idea that I had to collect video interviews with different people. Kevin Cavanaugh, the designer, was one of those. Vin Chambry, the actor. Leather Stores, the chef at Noble Rot, all of us impacted by this place, all of us making special and unique work that was connected to this place. And so that conversation sort of rippled out. We were able to produce a video from that, which screened at my CD release, and which a portion of which will be referred to in an OPB Art Beat show, which airs tonight, actually, about the Territory project. So it's really appropriate that today we're doing that. So I guess the thing I would say about RAC as it affects individual artists is that I like to use the metaphor of an ecosystem or an ecology, and that all of us, both artists and arts institutions and patrons and government, and are all sort of fixtures or factors in this ecology. And I like to think of RAC as something like an aquifer, a watering hole, right? There's this idea that for me as an artist that I need to travel around the world to make my art. But when I want to commit to a place, I need to have some place that I can sort of, that the resources are available to me to carry out the work that I do in this place. And I feel like RAC provides access to those particular resources that allow us to impact the place that we live, to think of ourselves, you know, as connected, and to allow our work to have resonance and significance in the community. So that's what I would say.
Awesome. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here and grateful for you guys for making time to have this wonderful couple of hours. I'm the Director of Literary Arts, and you probably know the organization is one that runs Portland Arts and Lectures, the Oregon Book Awards and Fellowships Program, and Writers in Schools. And we now run Wordstock, which is, on one hand, of course, Portland's book festival, but it's also a huge cross-sector collaboration that includes nonprofits in literature, music, visual arts, and broadcast. It includes for-profits, large and small, and agencies like the Multnomah County Library. General operating support is what we receive from RAC, and it's essential, and I think a lot everyone in this room who does receive it would understand, it is essential in creating a stable organization that allows us to go out and take risks and take on bold new projects and collaborate and create a lot of value for the community. When we were asked to take on Wordstock, it had run into some hard times. It was both in terms of attendance and in terms of finances. And to make it work, the festival needed a new home and a new program vision that was collaborative. And that's where you enter Brian Ferrizzo and Portland Art Museum and J.S. May, who, on the strength of a phone call, provided the art museum to us entirely free of charge. The festival, all of a sudden, in one stroke, had a new venue right downtown Portland. And joining their efforts were Powell's Books, Oregon Public Broadcasting, and the Multnomah County Library. And then following them were some incredible funders, including the Miller Foundation, Meyer, and Murdoch. That meant we had a place and a venue and some money to get going, and we hired Amanda Bullock from New York City, a fabulous festival director, and she did an amazing job on November 7, 2015. And here's what happened. It was one day downtown. Everybody 17 and under were free. Anyone with a high school ID went free. OPB recorded the entire festival, which is now slowly being released throughout the year on Oregon Public Broadcasting, and it was full of music and visual art. There were 100 writers. 50 of those writers were Oregonians, which is in line with our mission in the Oregon Book Awards and Fellowships Program, and 50 were from the national stage. 20% of the writers presented at Wordstock were writers of color. There were 43 events and 67 pop-up events throughout the art museum. There were programs for all ages, 16 workshops, and many free youth workshops. There were 250 volunteers. And in terms of attendance, for context, about 2,500 people had gone to the festival in its earlier iteration over 2 days, and normally on a Saturday in November, about 1,000 people visit the Portland Art Museum. For Wordstock, over 8,000 people attended the festival in a single day, including over 800 students, which made it a truly intergenerational day. The economic impact on small businesses and large businesses was huge. We featured dozens of small presses in the book fair. They were cleaned out that day in terms of stock. Powell's Books doubled their sales from previous festivals that day. And local restaurants, bars, and shops all around the park blocks looked like they'd had a riot in them. They'd been so cleaned out by the large crowds. The cultural impact, hundreds of writers presented work on diverse range of topics, local, national, international. Thousands of readers came downtown and discovered new writers and ideas, talked and ate together, listened to music, and discovered new visual art. What is crucial is that this whole journey began by having stable funders, especially in the general operating pool for us, that allows us to go out and take these incredible chances and risks in the community. I think it was a wonderful event. So I really am grateful for RAC's general operating support.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Welcome.
Good afternoon, members of City Council, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Novick, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you all today to talk about our experience in receiving the Expanding Cultural Access Grant from the Regional Arts and Culture Council to support their State of the Arts report today. My name is Luann Algoso, and I'm the Community Engagement Manager at the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, or otherwise known as APANO. And we're a statewide grassroots organization that advocates, organizes, and empowers Asian and Pacific Islanders in the state in achieving social justice. Since they are unable to be present with me today, I also bring in this room with me the members of the APANO Arts and Media Project, otherwise known as AMP. And AMP is a member-led committee within APANO who identify as artists and creatives emerging and established ranging from a wide spectrum of genres such as music, visual art, theater, film, poetry, and technology. And I have the honor of being the staff support for this group, as well as managing APANO's overall arts and culture programming, including the Jade Midway Creative Placemaking Program, where we work with artists from East Portland to use art as a tool to address issues around transportation, housing, and community identity. And we're grateful to have Commissioner Fish serve as ex officio on our placemaking steering committee. But I'm here today to testify in support of RAC's State of the Arts report and to share APANO's experience in receiving the grant last year for our pilot program, Mic Check, Voices from the Margins Cultural Event Series. APANO has been engaged in arts and culture work since its conception in 1996 as a method to celebrate and recognize our experiences as a community. But in more recent years, throughout each program area at APANO, there is now a component of arts and culture work that members have created to support in amplifying issues that APIs are facing today, whether it's through theater, music, visual art, or poetry. After the creation of the Arts and Media Project, members came together to host the Mic Check Voices from the Margins Cultural Event Series, which took place between July 2015 and March 2016. And the events consisted of an open mic night of poetry specifically for the API queer and trans community, a collaboration with Oregon's only API theater collective, Theater Diaspora, with the stage reading of Citizen Min, a play about Oregonian civil rights activist Minoru Yasui, who is most famous for his protest of the curfew imposed on Japanese Americans during World War II, cultural performances that took place at the Jade International Night Market, the Disoriented Comedy Showcase, a show that highlights API women, queer, and trans comedians locally and nationally, and finally, a powerful poetry writing workshop by trans South Asian duo Dark Matter. The Mic Check series supports APANO's work in amplifying the experiences and issues within the API community that are often unheard or intentionally silenced. Without the funding from RAC, we would not have been able to create the space for these stories to be shared, not only within the API community, but with the public, as a way to educate our allies and connect our stories in solidarity to other communities of color. Each event used a method of engagement that further connected communities to the issues that APANO was working on, specifically around health, education, and LGBTQ issues. It was especially important for us to use this pilot program to have the opportunity to raise issues around gender, queer, reproductive justice, and issue areas that tend to be fraught with tension in the API community. Each event also reached a diverse set of community members from trans and queer APIs to youth to locally based immigrant and refugee residents in the Jade District during our Jade International Night Market, which brought around 25,000 people during each weekend last year. We truly appreciate the support from RAC, which has enabled us to do this work in ways that we didn't think were possible. We're now hoping that the Mic Check Voices from the Margins Cultural Event Series can become a key annual event for APANO, where we can continue to highlight the issues and stories in our communities that are often marginalized. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today and about our experiences and RAC support.
Thank you very much. Let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you.
Thanks to all three of you for your inspiring accounts. And thank you, Sushila, for your leadership in our grants program. Next year, we'll have many more stories such as these as we see the results of our new arts equity grants currently being reviewed. And now it is my distinct pleasure to introduce RAC board member, co-chair of Work for Art, and fearless leader of our world-famous Portland Timbers, Mike Golub, who will talk about advocacy and development highlights at RAC.
Mike, by the way, has been impossible ever since the last weekend, since the Thorns and the Timbers won.
I was impossible before. So.
Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Pleased to be here. We're going to share with you some of the ways we're engaging the private sector in support of the arts. The collaboration and symbiosis between businesses and the arts is what the Americans for Arts calls the partnership movement, and it's a vital component for a thriving and growing arts community in any city. As many of you know, Business for the Culture and Arts, BCA, recently closed its doors, and the RAC board worked with the outgoing BCA board to absorb and perpetuate two of their more successful programs, The Art of Leadership and The Breakfast of Champions. Both are successful, long-running, and financially self-sustaining programs. The Art of Leadership program trains emerging business leaders to become valuable board members for nonprofits, particularly in the arts and culture sector. Recently, 38 people completed the six-month course, and they celebrated their graduation last week with a speed dating event where they met representatives of local arts organizations who were looking for new board members. This past February, 320 arts and business leaders, Nick attended, our Arts Breakfast of Champions event at the Portland Art Museum. The event brings together companies large and small, art supporters long-standing and new, to celebrate their contributions and inspire future efforts. At the event, we recognize top donors and champions for the arts, including Greg Ness of The Standard, who's shown here. We think Breakfast of Champions will continue to be a signature event every year and a catalyst for additional support for the arts by the business community. We raised about $10,000 from this year's breakfast, which will be accrued to this year's Work for Art campaign. Speaking of a Work for Art campaign, as many of you know, Work for Art is our employee giving program. We are now in our 10th year of Work for Art, and during that time, we've raised more than $7 million, benefiting over 100 arts organizations in our community. This year, we have more than 2,000 donors from more than 70 companies participate. I want to give a shout-out and thanks to Commissioner Fish, who's been a wonderful, stalwart supporter of Work for Art. This being our 10th year, we set an ambitious goal of raising $1 million. This would be a record raise. Pleased to report we are more than 85% there. But to get us towards the finish line over the next couple of months, we are introducing a new event to the community, Battle of the Bands. So on May 12th, at the Crystal Ballroom, you will see seven employee bands from companies such as Burgerville, Key Bank, Kaiser, PGE, The Standard, Tonkin Tour, and ZGF. We'll have some other surprise acts. We'll have a celebrity panel of judges. It's going to be a great night. So to preview what you will see and hear in May at the Crystal Ballroom, I wanted to introduce Paula Burton and Brian Delgin. By day, they work for ZGF Architects, but by night, they are performers. So Paula and Brian, take it away.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you all of you for having us today. It's a delight to be here. It's wonderful to not only have the opportunity to play for you all, but to compete, and I say that loosely, to perform alongside some other companies 3 weeks tonight. Brian and I, we are part of the ZGF band, Pencil Skirt Caller and Straight Edge Rulers. It's funny because I'm an architect for them. It's probably not funny if I have to explain that, but anyway. So we're going to sing video tape of What to Expect, and then heard the news today about a member of Pop Royalty passing. So about 90 minutes ago, decided to play something else. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
never steal you from another. The trick thing, my friend, you have to win. Purple rain, purple rain.
Thank you, Brian and Paula, and I hope that inspires you all to come to the Battle of the Bands and see who, what other talent is lurking beneath the working people of this community.
Who knew?
Who knew? So in closing, I'm so pleased and privileged that RAC is the steward of the city's investment in arts and culture. We see and hear the fruits of this work every day in all parts of our city, from community centers to concert halls, from schools to city streets, from established art spaces to pop-ups in parks and in neighborhood cafes. We know many people visit here for the arts. We see them following the public art walking tour and flocking to performances, festivals, and diverse cultural celebrations of all kinds. At the heart of all of this are artists, organizations, and arts lovers. And crucial to all of this richness is the financial commitment the city has provided and the personal value you each place on thriving arts community equitably for all Portlanders. We are here to say collectively thank you and to pledge that together we will keep the arts strong, vibrant, and thriving moving into the future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Eloise. So,
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
I have a question. I appreciate the detailed report and, of course, the performances. Thank you, everybody, for being here. The report shows that of the total revenue of $9.7 million, $8 million comes from the public, and about $7 million of that comes from the City of Portland, including $5.6 million from General Fund. So I'm very proud of the investment that we have made over the 7 years that I've been on the council, and I'm committed to continuing that investment, and that's aside from the arts tax. It's continuing money from the taxpayers of Portland. It's very clear that it's a regional wonder that we have such a vibrant arts and culture commission. And it's also, as Mike Gollop said, it's about business. It's about jobs. It's about attracting the kinds of creative businesses, including software developers and others, as well as creative artists. So how are we going to get the other jurisdictions to pay their fair share, I think is a big question. I'm glad to hear that Multnomah County gave us some money. How much money did Multnomah County give last year?
They moved us from $170,000 to $300,000, plus an additional $75,000 for Right Brain Initiative.
So they doubled, which is
almost
good.
Yes, they
if we can
doubled.
Keep them doubling every year, that
no.
would be
that's the plan.
Rolling.
That's the plan.
And I just charge all of us with that. That just as I was educated when I first came onto the council about that, you know, parks are more than fun and games, arts and culture are more than music and performance. And it really is a part of who we are as a city. I don't expect you to have an answer. And I also wanted to comment that I appreciate the emphasis on equity and the making sure that everyone in our community has the opportunity not only to experience but to benefit from the money that the public dedicates. I think this is our next challenge, folks, that we got the arts tax passed. It's got its floors. There's some who would change it and there's some who would keep it the same, but it is currently providing teachers in school, which is the main thing, and it needs to fulfill its promises both to the taxpayers and to RAC and the community. How are we collectively going to get Beaverton and Hillsborough and Lake Oswego and Dunthorpe to pay their fair share? So it's just you may have some thoughts in it.
Especially Dunthorpe.
Do you have clout there, maybe? Well, I can say that because I was out in Clackamas County just yesterday meeting with three of the commissioners and have met with the others as well. We have asked for actually a reinstatement from a cut that they gave us a couple of years ago. And I would say on balance, it's looking more promising, although they're a bit unpredictable. We've also asked for an increase from Washington County, specifically to support some of our partners who are based in Washington County, so that the whole infrastructure of the arts in the counties will be stronger. So a combination of funds, more funds that we reinvest for them, but also strengthening their own leadership in the county, and that's gathering some traction. And then I've recently been meeting with Metro councilors, because if you look at the history of RAC over the 20 years, when we took on the region, the same region that Metro is responsible for, they were funding us way more substantially than they are now, and it's a variety of factors. But I've been meeting with some of my board members along with me, with each of the council members, to try to sort of blow some breath on those coals that have gotten a little cool. But they're very receptive. It's just, you know, they have the same problem that everybody else does, that they don't know where the money comes from.
You know, Eloise, I appreciate Commissioner Fritz raising this issue, because I think it's really important that we boost participation regionally. And one thing that struck me at the RAC Arts Forum, first of all, I was so encouraged by what I heard from everybody who was on the stage. I would say, including my colleagues. It was a proud moment for me. But I also, it occurs to me that when you know you're going to have a leadership transition, and we will have a new mayor, the question is, will it be decided May or November, and who? One of the first orders of business, I think, is for that mayor to convene the regional leaders around the arts and address this question. And we have not, in the last 3.5 years, had such a gathering hosted by City Hall. And I think that in light of the comments that Amanda's made, I think it's incumbent on us to suggest to the mayor-elect that we bring our regional partners in, talk about the shared values and why it's important to the region, and then start drilling down on how we can boost participation outside of Multnomah County. So I applaud Amanda for raising it. I think we can push the mayor-elect, whoever that is, towards that. So,
yeah,
and we'll need you all to come back, right?
Yeah. So we are. I believe we have a few people who've testified. We're going to take them. Then we're going to take a motion to accept the report and then do closing statements. So if we could just pause for a second, Carla. How many people signed up?
I show three people: Jim Winkler, Ian Mauser, and Matthew Gailey.
Okay, do we have three people signed up?
Come on up.
If you could come up. Is Jim here? Oh, well, why don't we start? And Ian, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. Can you hear me all right? That's a bit of an echo.
Yes.
My name is Ian Mauser. I'm the founder and director of My Voice Music. My Voice Music empowers young people through writing, recording, and releasing music. We use music as therapy, and we use music as a way to teach youth social and emotional skills. We work with about 2,000 youth each year, and we work with them on a one-time basis, or we might work with them week after week, year after year. I'm here to share a story about one particular youth that we worked with, which is an intersection of My Voice Music, this young person's life, and the Regional Arts and Culture Council. This young person that we met was about 4 years ago, and she was in crisis when we met her. She had just been discharged from the hospital. Her family, her father had just lost his job, and her mom was in and out of the hospital due to physical illness. When we first met this young person, their family didn't know where they were going to get rent each month, let alone find a place for their daughter to engage in extracurricular activities such as a summertime rock camp. Thanks to the Regional Arts and Culture Council, as well as several other supporters, My Voice Music was able to provide free rock camps to youth in foster care, as well as those experiencing crises and challenges. This young person came to us, and because she came to us that summer, she got engaged in our weekly programs, and because she got engaged in our weekly programs, she started showing up year after year, and we began to form long-term relationships with this young person. Now this young person's a student at Portland Community College. She got her GED. She's working a job, and she's actively living and creating a fulfilled life for herself. In retrospect, I asked her, you know, what was it that allowed you to be where you are right now, given where you were when I met you? And she said, My Voice Music Summer Rock Camp, that first camp that she was at, changed her life and changed the trajectory of her life. She said it gave her hope in a time where she was in crisis, and it gave her a new aspiration to pursue. And that new aspiration allowed her to invite new peers into her life that could support her, adults in her life who could support her and gave her long-term mentorship so she could be supported on her journey and see a new path for herself. You know, it takes just one spark and just the right moment at just the right time to change a person's life forever, to start a fire in somebody whose consequence we may not know for many years down the road. The Regional Arts and Culture Council certainly supports igniting that spark in individuals, in the community, and in the city as a whole. Thank you for your support of the arts through the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Thank you very much. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you so much. I think I'd like to transition over to the piano and bring Leah up to give our final remarks.
We hope you do.
All right. Leah, come on up.
Sorry if I'm seated. Sorry if I take a seat.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hells and City Commissioners. My name is Leah Mulligan, and I'm a musician and actress who takes classes and performs at FAME.
And I'm Matthew Gailey, FAME's Director of Education and Performance Programs. You've heard a lot of amazing stories this afternoon about the profound positive impact that city funding of RAC has on our citizens and our organizations and our city as a whole. And we want to share a few final words with you and then a final song.
First off, we want to say thank you. Thank you to Mayor Hales for being such a strong supporter of arts and culture. I know all of us at FAME have loved singing with you and the First Lady at Pioneer Square with our friends from Pink Martini.
And thank you also to Commissioners Fritz, Salzman, for both of your support of RAC and of FAME and of many other great arts groups.
And I wanted to give a special shout out to Commissioner Novak for joining FAME on stage at the Pioneer Square tree lighting ceremony this past November. And to our FAME friend, Commissioner Fish, for coming to so many of our performances and events. Commissioner Fish, you rock!
Beyond saying thank you, we also want to say one more thing. More needs to be done. The arts tax, which is a great tool, has yet to fulfill its total promise. Organizations like FAME rely heavily on this support. We are a grassroots growing organization focused on equity and inclusion and utilizing the arts and creative expression as tools to help improve the lives of real people who are historically underserved by the city and by our community.
We ask you, Mayor Hales, and City Council to consider adding at least $3 million to RAC's budget this year to help make up the difference in the arts tax collection shortfalls. We know budgets are tight and times are tough, but this support would make a real difference to me and to my friends at FAME. We have some letters we've written to Mayor Hales that we'll leave with you, which help to illustrate how important this support is to us. Thank you for considering our request and for all your support. And with that, Matthew, let's hit it.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you, and all the things that you do, and they were all yellow.
I came along, I wrote a song for you, oh what a thing to do. And it was all yellow.
So then I took my turn. Oh, what a thing to have done. And it was all yellow.
Your skin
and bones
turning
something beautiful.
Do you know?
You know I love you so.
You know I love you so.
I jumped across for you. Oh, what a thing to do. And it was all yellow. I drew a line.